Has this ever gone through your brain? Why is this happening to me? What have I done to have this come at me? Probably no one ever has, you know. It's just me who's ever felt that way, you know, in living. You know, a lot of us have things that come at us all the time, and we're just kind of scratching our heads going, what happened here? Why did this happen? It can be all kinds of things. It can be a family event that just knocks us off our pins. We didn't see it coming. Tragedy, it could be an accident, it could be a health issue. You lose your job, you go in the day, and you say, well, we don't need you anymore. I mean, there are all kinds of things. When I first came to Southern California to go to college, I went to a church that I think oversold the gospel. It was a place that was booming with young adults, and all kinds of things were going on, and a lot of people were being saved there. And the salvation message that was given had a problem, and that was, if you turn your life over to, now I can almost do it verbatim, if you turn your life over to Jesus Christ today, your life will be utterly changed. Those problems that you had in the past will melt away because the strength of Christ will be able to overcome them, and you will find in yourself a new light shining. The past is the past, and the new day is moving forward, and you will be in it. It all sounds pretty good to start with, but generally speaking, the things that we have in our past don't just end with a conversion experience. They don't just change magically. And the 2 years that I was in the college group, the young adult college group, there were 5 of us that were there for 2 years. There were literally hundreds of people who went through it. And because of life experience or because of change in schooling or whatever, jobs, whatever, they moved out onto other things. But over and over and over again, I heard this. Why is this happening to me? You know, I thought that, you know, that I gave myself over to Jesus, these things would kind of melt away, but my old friends still keep calling me. My addiction issues still hang on. The bad relationships that I had just seem to keep cropping up in my life. I can't make a break. And what happens is that a lot of them just gave up. That it was just, they were feeling like they were fighting the tide of their life to the point where they just gave up swimming and turned around and swam with the current that they had before. They weren't fighting the stream any longer. The Apostle Paul is a great example of living for so many of us, because he starts out in a tough place. You know, he starts out on the wrong side of the Jesus movement to begin with. He's going to go and persecute that group in Damascus. He's knocked off his donkey. Jesus speaks to him from the heavens. He is blinded. He is changed. He hears the good news message, and you know what? None of his past life left him behind. If you read the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find out that he was beaten several times. He was put in jail. He was almost executed twice. He was shipwrecked. He did all of these things to him, and I'm wondering if he ever thought in his head, why is this happening to me? I thought that I had made this change, and it would be, and my life would be so much better. When we reach the letter to 2 Corinthians, we have a picture of Paul as a mature Christian who's been out in the world in Asia Minor for a long time. He realizes early on in his ministry that you just can't get a pass on life for loving Jesus. It doesn't get you out of the adventures of living. It doesn't get you out of tragedy. It doesn't get you out of illness. It doesn't get you out of disappointment. It doesn't get you out of job loss. It doesn't get you out of bad relationships. It doesn't get you out of anything that life throws at you. It's not like the get out of jail free card you get with Monopoly, that you can just put it down and go around it and not spend time in that space. He realized that. He also realized something else as he had spent a lot of time out on the road, and as he was physically feeling kind of worn out, he realized that all of these had changed him too, internally. And he began to see that the value that he gained from a life with Christ was the value of the internal rather than the external. You know, in the world that he lived in, you judged a person by the way they looked and by what they did. It's not unlike today, is it? You know, that if you have good teeth and good hair, you might make it on TV. If you don't have either one of those, you're probably not going to get there. You know, you want the people look at you and they come to determine who you are in a lot of ways. A lot of us have a real problem with that because we're so much more than the way we look. I am so much more than the way we look. There was a picture that I almost threw up today, threw up on the screen, I should say, that of me at my ordination when I was like 40 pounds lighter and had a lot of hair. And my wife looks exactly the same, but her hair is just a little different. And it's sad to see. But anyway, at least how one of us has aged mightily. Anyway, I would say that at the beginning of my ministry, I had a real idea of what life was going to be like and where I was going to drive and all the things that we were going through. I had never even been in this place at that point in my life. The reality is, I didn't understand at all, at that moment, all the living that I had to do. Between the death of my own father, to a tragic death of a nephew in a car accident, people who I loved who died of diseases, all of the things, as well as having the birth of children, meeting the people in this congregation, living through the years that we've been here, all of that living has changed me. Like living anywhere will change you. You know, life experiences give us a different kind of view on life. And the longer we live a life, the longer we see the long scope of it, don't we? When I was 15, the scope of my year started in September and ended in June. And then I had 3 months of no scope. Wah! I got to do whatever I wanted. And then it started all over again, you know. Now the years just fly by me. Half the year is gone. Where did it go? And we begin to have a longer view of things. I think as we age, we begin to get God's view of things, don't we? I just believe it. And I have noticed that through living, that people begin to pick up on this kind of longer view of faith and of life. And they begin to pick up on the internals that are going on in them, the way they feel. And they begin to think, what am I doing in the world? Is this making a difference the way that I live? I wish I had more impact. You start acting these internal questions that shape us and create in us. I want to be a better parent. I want to be a better grandparent. I want my life to have some meaning. And as we start asking those questions, we begin to get into the realm of God, I believe. We begin to get into the realm that Paul sees in this letter, where he says, you know, the outside of you may be not what it once used to be. The outside of you may not be able to do the very things that you once were able to do. You may not look the way you once looked. You may not have the same capacity that you once had. But God is working within you. God is doing some works within you that is creating depth within you, creating a sense of purpose within you, because you keep asking God's questions. Ultimately, Paul says that our outward body wastes away, but their inward part that we can't see is the thing that God gazes upon and lifts up even into heaven. For Paul, the resurrection is a very important thing. He experiences right at the beginning of his journey the resurrected Christ, who calls to him from the sky above and says, why are you persecuting me? I have a better plan for you. And even to the end of his life, where he had endured so many hardships, the one thing he talked about at the end was the power of the resurrection. Isn't it interesting that at the very beginning of his ministry, he experienced it, and he had it his whole way through to the end. He had that certainty, and that propelled him to move forward. It helped him ask questions about himself. It helped him to live out in the world. It helped him to gain depth of understanding. It helped him to nudge people along rather than yelling at them the whole time. It moved him. We have that opportunity too. We have an opportunity to use our lives for the betterment of God's world, and particularly because we have experienced the resurrection of Christ within us. We have a certain place that we move from, a certainty of the resurrection. I've met many people in the hospital who have said, "I am ready to go home and be with Jesus." And I go, "That probably will happen sometime, but don't you think you have something more to do?" And all of them, every one of them, has had more to do. And those extra years that they had, or extra days that they had, or the way that they interacted with family and friends was transformative until the last breath they took. And we gave thanks for their great lives among us. That's the life I wish you all have. That would be my prayer for you, that no matter where you are in your life's journey, you would see yourself as an instrument of God. That Christ's resurrection is there in your back pocket. It doesn't give you a free pass on life. It doesn't. I wish it did. I wish those messages that I had heard, you know, at the early part of my adulthood was true. That if you had Jesus, you missed it all. You know, you had this barrier that kept you away from adversity, that kept you away from disappointment, that held you away from tragedy of living. But it doesn't. What having the resurrection in your back pocket gives you, though, is a sense that your life has meaning more than just at that moment. That your life has a meaning over a longer period of time. That you can pray to God to say, "Be with me in this dark spot," and God will be there. And when the sun shines again, God will be there too. For every breath we take and everything we do so, as Paul says, in the company of God and in the presence of Christ. Will you pray with me? Some of us are young God in the very corner looking at life through new eyes. Some of us are older God who have seen a lot of living. And yet you journey with each of us in our own unique way. We often pray that the tragedy would not befall us, that in some way we would get a pass on the living that we see around us. And when it happens to us, we are surprised and grieved. Yet, you remain faithful to us no matter what happens in our life circumstance. You journey with us in the joy and the sorrow. You bring it to us and look into our innermost being and say, "I am journeying with you. Ultimately, I will welcome you into my very presence."